This week on Podcast Dojo, we're talking about social networks. Master the art of the podcast. It's Podcast Dojo! Hey everybody, hello and welcome to Podcast Dojo, the show that each week aims to inspire those who are wanting to start a podcast, to find their passion and start recording, coach those who are already recording to master their niche, and cheer the podcast community on as podcasting grows more and more popular each and every day. I am your host, Brian, and I want to thank you very much for stopping by. You can get to the show notes of this show at podcastdojo.com/014, because this is the 14th episode. You can also email me a question, or if you like, you can record a question and email me at brian@podcastdojo.com. Or if you want to, if you're not at your house and you're not close to your recording equipment and you just want to leave a ask a question or make a comment, you can do so by voicemail by calling 530-763-2789. And if you go to podcastdojo.com over on the right hand side, you're going to see this big old red oblong button that says subscribe. It is to join the Podcaster Society, which is my email list. And on there, I won't spam you. I won't throw a whole bunch of stuff your way. You may get something from time to time. Just right now, just trying to, want to help get kind of a group together so that I can let you know if something is, something neat, cool, and fun is about to come about. So, and to do so, I figured, heck, I need to go ahead and get that, work on that, that email list. So that's what I'm doing there. And then also, if you, right underneath that big red button, you'll see a list, and links to the pertinent other sites that you might want to go to. So, but anyhow, what are we talking about this week? Well, like the bumper said, we're talking social networking. And social networks, folks, is, you may ask yourself, why? Why do I need to worry about a social network? This is a podcast show. Why am I even talking about social networks? Well, because you're wanting something. If you have a podcast up and running right now, you're asking one question that everybody asks when they first start a podcast, or even one that has been in for a year or two. How do I grow my audience? I've been doing this for a year and I don't think I've got enough people. I've obviously don't have enough people. I'm not getting hardly any comments. How do I grow my audience? The solution is multifolded, but today we're going to tackle one angle on that, and that is social networks. How do you use social networks for podcasting? Most of the time, people don't want to hear that, and there's so many social networks out there. Which ones do you go to? Which social network should you focus on? Are you supposed to be on all of them? Because, you know, you've got groups in every single place. And then the question of how do you use those different social networks? Well, that's what I'm going to aim at trying to tackle today, to help explain what a social network is and why, as a podcaster, you want to try to utilize as many as you can without overdoing it, because you can overdo it. Now, what are social networks? Okay, social networks are not just Facebook. Social networks have been around for a very long time. As a matter of fact, the buzzword in the late 90s, early 2000s was networking. Y'all remember that? Oh, there's a big business networking convention over at the Dallas City Music Hall or whatever. There was always these big social functions where you got people together, and those were meant to get people to meet other people, to socialize, to mingle, even if you want to use an 80s term, go mingle. And so this is a way for other people to find out who you are. And for you to find out who your audience is, who they are, what is your audience like? Is your fishing audience seem to find a lot of your fishing audience over on Pinterest looking at flowers? Well, why is that? And you can do that. You can find out why is it that the dog walkers seem to spend a whole lot of time talking about, I don't know, talking about cars on Twitter. Well, so these are great little means to be able to help you understand and follow who your audience really, really is and why. I'm trying to get myself tangled up here. And why you want to find your audience. Besides for the fact that you can, it helps you to attract people to your show. But another thing is social media, especially here recently, has become a hit because people have actually figured out, hey, you can get very creative in your marketing. And when you're creative in your marketing, people actually respond a lot more positively to your message when you're doing it creatively. If you're selling to them in a way that you're not, it doesn't sound like you're selling to them, they're going to be a lot more receptive. So when you're on different social networks, it allows you to be, like I said before, connect with your audience. Now, the neat thing about this is when you connect with your audience, people will automatically go off and assume, or not assume, but they will take it that you are somebody big. If they listen to you on the podcast, for me, if I'm in a group with Jimmy Bice, I'm tickled pink. He's just a guy who works in Maryland. I understand. But at the same time, he is a podcaster and does a show that I absolutely enjoy. And he's got another one coming out here real soon that is even greater. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And he's, to me, I still have a bit of starstruck, you know, fanboy moments of, you're Jimmy Bice, aren't you? Yeah, you're Jimmy. Yeah, you. Oh, boy. And he's just a guy. And I know that if I walked up to, you know, Dave Jackson, I'd be like, you're Dave Jackson. Oh, holy smokes, you're Dave Jackson. Holy, yeah, check you out. Oh, wow. All right. Hey, okay, everybody, this is, you know, I would have that idiot moment, the best way to describe it, at least for me. I wouldn't be able to be cool about it. I wouldn't be able to go, hey, yeah, you're Daniel Lewis. Yes, Mr. Lewis. Yes, how you doing? I'd been, oh gosh, yeah. Oh, hey, look, it's Ray Ortega. Oh my, you know, you would geek out a bit about it. And that is because you take that person's advice many, many times to heart. You listen to what they say, and when they say something, you have a tendency to want to go, okay, well, you take it in, you absorb it, and you decide whether it's a good idea or not. And when all of a sudden that person who you've been listening to religiously is in your presence and takes the half a second out of their, you know, as most people perceive, incredibly busy day, they are just so above you that, you know, to come down to their to your level and reach out and shake your hand and ask you, they care about your name. Holy smokes! Wow, this is great. Even though they're still just a regular guy, you realize he's just a normal guy. There is still just that little bit of starstruck that happens, and for them to come down and off their high pillar that you've put them on, to shake your hand, say, good to meet you, let's go do lunch, and they sit down and have lunch with you, and then off to go. That person, that fan, that listener is going to, through the rest of the day and for the rest of the year and maybe for the rest of his life, go, and I met that guy that you're listening to on the radio right now. I met him. I shook his hand. And I sat down and had lunch with him for an hour. It was awesome. And they'll tell their friends. And that's why you want social networks, because they go through and they tell because everybody travels in their own little circle. They have their own little cliques. You got your clique that something cool happens, they're going to go to, and they're going to want a name drop. Whether the other people in their circle knows a thing or two as to who Ray Ortega is, they may not have a foggiest clue who Cliff Ravenscraft is. They may not have an inkling of an idea who Leo Laporte is. But if someone comes up and goes, hey, yeah, I was sitting down, I was having lunch with old Leo Laporte the other day, and we were talking about Google. And then all of a sudden, that magic happens, where that person who had been listening to your podcast for quite a while has all of a sudden told his other friends. Now, his other friends may only be five. It may be a 500. Who knows? But he told his friends about you and how to get to you, and is an advocate for podcasting. And because he is cheering podcasting on and is cheering you on specifically, you're going to grow your audience. He's going to bring people into the fold. And as you bring people in, you've got more and more listeners. Your audience grows because you take the time to go through the different social networks. Your social network influences your listeners' social networks. And those social networks then find people who are of your audience, who would fit your audience, and they migrate over to you also. You might have someone who's just discovered a podcast and is interested in, let's say your podcast is about daffodils, but they're just getting around to listening to podcasts, and they're doing your typical, you know, This American Life and The Moth and a couple of the other shows that are always popping up at the front of iTunes because they don't know to look deeper. They don't realize the extent of what podcasting is. Well, all of a sudden, they have their good buddy who they do poker night with, comes over and says, hey, listen to this podcast that I thought you might like. Oh? And so they commence to telling about your podcast. Now, social media also allows for people to be able to learn about your audience, because you'll see someone new. Let's say you have someone who jumps in, follows your, say, Facebook page. All right. So you can jump on from your business, from your Facebook page over to your page and kind of look the person up, and you can see what they have available private or publicly. And you can learn a thing or two. Maybe they're a teacher you can strike up a conversation with the people. And it helps to be able to connect on a deeper level. And I recommend, if you're going to do something on social network, you have to do something that for the longest time eluded me. And that is to engage your audience. Now, what do you mean engage your audience? You know, put it into gear. Basically, that's one way to look at it. But to engage your audience, that's something that just threw me. For the longest time, I kept hearing people say, well, you got to have a plan to engage your audience. You got to engage your audience. You got to engage your audience. Engage. You have to be engaging. You have to be, you know, and it's like, okay, well, the way most people make it sound, social media, you want to engage your audience. Well, how? Ask a question. Okay. How many people out there have tried this? Just ask a question. It doesn't really work that well. Hey, what'd you eat for supper today? Crickets. Yeah. How many people have kids? More crickets. It doesn't, going out and just asking a question, you'll very quickly realize, does not work. Don't go out and just ask random questions. Now, if you can find a way to ask a question in a way that will incite a response, as in an emotional response, then people are going to be a little more inclined to answer. But those are actually really tough to come up with, especially if you're in knitting or quilting. But you can engage your audience in a lot easier way. And that is by asking individual people, your individual listeners. So Joe Bob from Kentucky, ask him. You see a post, he just mentioned that he got himself a new dog. You ask him, well, what type of dog is it? And he goes, well, it's a blue tick hound, of course. You say, awesome. So you like to hunt? See, there's two questions. And he may reply, well, yeah, I like to hunt coons from time to time. So, all right. So you like to hunt raccoons. What do you do with the skin, with the raccoon after you catch them? Do you eat them? No. We just like to make coonskin caps. I have a company called Coonskin Cap Company. And you just learned something new about that particular audience. You engaged in them. You came off your lofty perch again and mingled with this Joe Bob from Kentucky. And he is more inclined to want to share who you are because you took the time to talk to him. You engaged your audience. And that audience, and this time, was just one person. And that's who you want to engage. And so every day, I would recommend every day go out and talk to one listener and engage in with them. Talk to and find a potential listener. If you have learned who your audience is, so like for this podcast, what I will normally do is I will go on to Twitter and we'll go into some of the more popular social networks are here in a moment and some different thoughts or strategies as to what they're used for and how to utilize them for their way, because each social network is completely different in tactics. But so on Twitter, I like to go and search for people who are looking to start. How do you start a podcast? I will search for that. How do you start a podcast? And I will jump in there and I will start answering I will answer that question. And 9 times out of 10, they will respond with, well, how do I do blah? And I respond with that. And how do you start blah? And I will keep engaging them and talking to them and coaching them through Twitter, which is a challenge with only 140 characters, but it is possible. And what happens is eventually they will go, you will be able to find a place where you can drop in. And if you got more, I'm glad I could help. And if you got any more questions or you need some more help, I've got a podcast called Podcast Dojo. You can get to it here. Have a great day. Good luck with your endeavor. We'll talk to you later. And so just random helpness is just go by and just randomly help people out on Twitter is a great way to increase the social awareness of your show and of who you are. So anyhow, just mentioned it a little bit before. What are some of the different social networks that are out there? Well, we've got the big ones, and that's Facebook. Now, Facebook, as you know, is got 500 billion people on it or something like that. Some astronomically huge number. And everybody knows what Facebook is. Everybody almost everybody uses Facebook. And it is great for the little intimate gatherings. If you're going to, I use Facebook. It is more of a close friends and family network is what I kind of use Facebook for. Doesn't mean I don't have people who I'm not related to and I'm not friends with. I'm not, you know, I didn't grow up with them. They're not my family friends and they're not my childhood friends or anybody like that. They're just, you know, these are people who I have met that I sort of know. And then there's a couple people on there. I don't know them from Adam. I could walk past them on the street and I wouldn't know it. Never seen them face to face. Never seen them in person before in my life. But we do share some engaging conversations with each other. And so, yeah, it is a fairly intimate network for me. Now, I have my Facebook pages, and I don't have a Podcast Dojo page set up yet. I'm actually trying out a different, a little tactic. So, keeping notes on it so that I'm going to see how this works. I heard somebody talk about this, and I want to test it out But I don't want to talk about it and then find out it didn't work and then tell y'all, hey, I tried to do this and oh yeah, it didn't work. So I'm running an experiment on Facebook right now and I'll let you know how it goes here fairly quickly. So, but you can be a great, very intimately help people with whatever the problem is with your niche. So again, we'll use Podcast Dojo for an example. So I could, on the Facebook page, if I had a Podcast Dojo page up, could make it to where people are able to leave a comment and I can share with that comment and we can start up a discussion as to, hey, this is the solution to this type of problem that I've come across. And you can also do groups, and groups are great because it's like a little community and everybody talks about everything instead of like on the pages where it's just about you and you have to start the conversation for everybody else to jump in. So Facebook can be very challenging. With the new way they've done their advertising, it has become easier to increase your followers. But as Dave Jackson said, I kind of like to do stuff as inexpensive as possible. And that is just because, well, I'm trying to get rich and I'm just not in the place to do it as of yet. I try to look for as close to free as I can. And I really am not in the position I'm not in a position. I don't feel right advertising to my listeners as of yet, except for last week, which is to help me out. But at the same time, I wanted to help you out. So that's why last week's deal was like it was. But anyhow, Facebook, very intimate. Just best way to look at it. Most people, I believe, use Facebook in a very intimate manner. They are very, it is about what is going on very personally in my life. So then you have the next network, which is Twitter. Now, Twitter, most people look at Twitter and first thing they see is just stream and stream and stream of all this information. It's an information overload. What do you do with all this stuff? Oh my gosh, it's just noise. What do you do? Who cares about whether or not you had Coke or not? Coke or Pepsi? Who? Oh my gosh. And people get swept away with the tidal wave that is Twitter when they first try to join in. I had a great way how to address Twitter. And it is, think of there being a social mixer, a business social going on at your local Coliseum, whether it's, you know, American Airlines Arena in Dallas or the Amarillo Civic Center or even whatever Civic Center you're at. Okay. You have in a local area, someplace, big venue, football stadium, all right? Something like that. Now, you're walking up, doors are shut, it's quiet. You get up to the door of this Coliseum, this Civic Center, and you open the door to go in. What are you immediately hit with? Noise. Lots of just almost deafening, just murmurs and talking, and you hear, and yeah, he's just a, and somebody else is, well, no, there's just Noah, and hey, I've got this thing, you ought to buy it, and you know, and you have all about 20,000 different conversations coming your way all at once. What do you do? This is too much information. Shut the door and just walk away. Well, maybe agoraphobic, possibly, yeah, that would be too much for you, and you will just, oh God, and leave. But most people walk in, you've got the rush of noise of all the people talking. Well, you start looking for people you know. As you kind of walk around, you're looking for, I wonder if Joe's here. I wonder if Frank's here. I wonder if Sally's here. I wonder if Melissa's here. Maybe Jenna decided to come through today. And, you know, as you meander and walk around, looking for people, you know, hey, there's Joe from accounting. Come on over here. Let's have it. I'm looking around. You see a few people that you know. You come across a couple, three people. And as you're walking around, you see, you hear something that's kind of perks your interest. They're talking about what you like to hear, talking about your passion. Well, you go over there and you listen. This one guy, he's talking about this, and someone else jumps in and adds to it, and another person adds to it. And they're all talking, and all of a sudden there's a little point, and you hear someone say something wrong. And you jump in, and you, oh, well, there's a better way to do that. And you jump in, and you give them your 2 cents. And so you're all of a sudden part of that little conversation. And you introduce yourself. Hey, I'm Brian. I do podcast. Hey, yes, I'm glad to meet you. Oh, yes, I know who you are. Yes, and you have now kind of increased your circle. And then Bob from accounting comes by and says, hey, I've got this person you want to meet. And you go over and you... So Twitter can be... Oh, I completely lost my line of thought. Love it when I get calls in the middle of a... in the middle of shows. So, but anyhow, you can get people to really, people start talking to people who talk to other people is the key to Twitter. Know that as you're talking to one person, other people are going to show up and they're going to have other conversation or their conversations with you are going to show up on their timeline. So you're going to, as they talk to you, your conversation, they're introducing you to their followers. So the networking really flows and flows and flows. And so you're able to really grow yourself quickly. Now, the reason why Twitter had such a bad, really bad, I almost say reputation for people just showing up, so taking pictures of their food and taking food selfies and things along those lines is because they were Twitter for the longest time. When you first logged in and you saw your status update deal, it said, "What are you doing?" And so you were able to go in and you were able to share little bits of yourself, very short, 140 character bits. That's recently changed, and now Twitter's becoming more, wanting to be more of a live news outfit instead of a social network. And so Twitter may lose some of its appeal. Not much, though, because there's still a lot of people that who see Twitter's power and their Twitter's influence and really know how to embrace it. So Twitter is best way, is the means of, pardon me. All right, let's try that again, see if I got that throat cleared now. Best used as a means to start up a conversation with strangers, because you're able to just find a random person wandering around Twitter aimlessly and walk up to them and go, "What are you doing?" And they'll 9 times out of 10 go, "Talking to you." And they'll go right back to, they'll come right back with an answer. And you're able to get your news out there a lot faster. Now, you don't want to go out and be abusive to people, because you can get yourself kicked off Twitter for just spamming the crap out of people. And also, you see people who have got 20,000 followers, you know, all these, you know, huge numbers, multi-millions of followers. Know that, especially if they're just Joe Schmo and they've got, you know, 30,000 followers, they may have 30,000 followers, but you might want to really, you can go off and you can do you can pay for followers. You don't want to do that. Just to let you know, it's about as disingenuous as you can get. It's a sign of someone who is actually kind of desperate, and you don't want to do that because why did you have to pay for friends? It's like paying for friends. It's not going to work. And the moment that you say something, you're going to lose a ton of your followers real quick. So I would recommend, if when you're first starting out, don't fall into the trap of the team follow back or whatever. You're going to grow slow. You will grow, but it's going to be, it will be slow, but you're going to also grow with a, you're going to also grow with a more loyal following. So next social network is one, whether you're going to use it or not, you want to be on. And that is Google Plus. Now, Google Plus is Google's social network. This is, and it's actually a lot of fun. It's mainly meant, mainly used by people who are in the creative sphere. They like to create, you know, either photography, podcasts, things along those lines. If they're creating something, they're going to migrate towards Google Plus. Now, you want to be in Google Plus whether you are or not. And you want to, because Google's really starting to fold all their services into Google Plus. And so you want to be on there. You want to sign up. You want to have a Google Plus account. Put your picture on there. You know, get your basic set of information set up. Get all your privacy stuff set in place. And then if you want to set it and forget it, okay, you can. But you're going to start seeing, well, heck, you've got YouTube. If you want to make a comment on YouTube, you've got to have a Google Plus account. If you want to put a video up on YouTube, you have to have a Google Plus account. They're all Google Plus and YouTube, which are both Google items, are now tied together. And this is going to become a lot more. Google's going to start tying a lot more of their services together with Google Plus. The other thing you want to do is, if you do decide to become active on Google Plus, you're going to be creating these things called circles. Circles are considered are a way of describing groups. You have, these are my artistic friends, all right? Or your artistic circle. Things that are artsy, you're going to share with them. Things that are political, you're going to share with your political junkie friends. You're going to share watercolor, lawn care with your lawn mowing buddies and things like that. And so all these circles all have you in common. And so you at least are traveling in those particular circles, and those circles are going, have got other people in their circles. And so again, it branches out like your typical network view. But the thing you want to do is, because Google likes to categorize everything and wants to have descriptors for everything, when you make your friends, make up your circles, make it try to avoid the cutesy, the giggle snorts, for those who are funny, the gallop along for your horse riding friend. You know, you want to be fairly descriptive. So if you are following you've got a group of comedians you're following, best thing to do is to have a circle called funny or comedians, but not people I want to see. Because Google actually takes, this person is in a whole bunch of funny circles. He must be funny. So if someone starts doing a search for funny, well, guess what? The people in your circle are going to show up as funny. This now is not going to say, well, in Brian's circle, these are all the funny people. But they're going to start, that person's now going to be categorized as funny or as comedian or as insightful or witty or technical oriented or a blogger or podcaster or politician or celebrity. These are all descriptive words. And that's how you actually want to have your circles named, as a descriptive word. But, and it helps them out, and they also in turn help you out. Because one thing about Google Plus and having the Google Plus account is because of Google authorship. If you've heard of it, good. If not, this is what it is. Say you have a blog, which if you're going to podcast, you're going to have a blog. All right. Now your blog is going to have key points that point or key bits of information in the, should have key bits of information put in the coding that says, hey, this has been written by you or been written by me. It's been written by somebody. Okay. Now, when you go and type in a search in Google, there's going to be from time to time articles that show up that's got a little picture of somebody you know beside there, someone in your circle. Now, these are starting to show up a lot more as Google Google Plus's, the authorship's in. That's that Google authorship. All of a sudden, you've got a picture by your post. Pictures are, one, a lot more engaging. At least they see the person's face. Now, if there's no face there, yeah, people will click on it. They always have, but they're going to be a lot more likely to click on the picture on a post that's got somebody who they know. Hey, this one was written by Brian back in 2013. Click it. And so you get more people to come to your network or to your show, to your podcast than before. So Google Plus is very, very powerful. You want to make sure that you have. Now, another network that is actually becoming a lot more popular, and actually I would recommend you check out Cynthia Sanchez's Oh So Pinteresting podcast about this, because she puts in a lot of great and incredibly good information about this social network called Pinterest. Now, Pinterest is, if you're a guy, you're going, oh, that's that chick place, isn't it? Well, yeah, to a point. They have, the majority are women who utilize Pinterest because women always like to look for the next great thing and are very visually, not stimulated, but, inspired. And Pinterest does a great job of gathering pictures as the main item that grabs a person's interest. And so what you have is you have different boards. Look at them as pin boards, which is how they come up with the name. And so you have a pin board that is of a specific topic. Again, you want to take the topic and you want to take that name and give it a descriptive name, not something, you know, goo goo gaga for baby stuff. And when you put stuff in, you want to make, this helps you to be able to find people that what would be a good way to describe them? Who are into different aspects of whatever your niche happens to be. And you, now, Pinterest is not going to be for everybody, but for those who find out and learn how to utilize it, you're doing great. You're ahead of a lot of people. Pinterest can be a big challenge because it is visual, but at the same time, they have found out that if you put words in the picture, you get even a better response. So if you can, you have to do a little bit of work and start putting what pictures you want in your post. So because of Pinterest, though, that's one thing you want to make sure you actually have in your post are pictures. And specifically pictures that have maybe some wording in there so that it is a little more engaging to the Pinterest followers. So, but Pinterest can be, it is very powerful. It's a great search tool. So if you're looking for something podcast wise, there's a good way to be able to find podcast topics is through Pinterest. So Pinterest, is an emerging one. It's only been out for a couple, 3 years, but it took off huge in the Midwest and mid America, and it is growing by leaps and bounds. So you definitely want to see how can you put Pinterest into your scheme to grow your audience. Another social network that's out there is called Instagram. Now, Instagram is nothing more than a bunch of pictures. This is actually a great way of doing what Twitter used to be, which is give people a peek into what your life is about or what your life is. You can do maybe a little bit of talking about your podcast through set of pictures, but at the same time, it's mostly allows your listeners to connect with you on a more personal level. Vine, a lot is the same way, but you only have, it's a 6-second movie or video. So whatever you're going to say, you have to do it fast because 6 seconds, not that long of a time. Now, if you're a business person, the LinkedIn is a good social network to be in, especially if whatever your business is or your podcast, especially business oriented. LinkedIn can be the place to go. You can find lots of different, this is the businessman's social network. This is, so Facebook may be a lot dressed down, kind of less formal. Twitter, maybe casual Friday. LinkedIn is going to be, make sure you have your suit and tie on, because it's business. It's a business network. Social network site is the only way you can really describe LinkedIn. Yeah, there are different groups, and you're able to have conversations in those groups. A lot of times those groups, though, are just spam pits, but you can from time to time have a conversation in there. But typically LinkedIn is, though growing, is still basically, if you're in a business, that's who you want to, where you want to talk. It's, you want to be in LinkedIn. Now, there is a network, social network out there. I'm going to call it a social network, but it is probably the toughest social network to get into, to really start having any type of influence. And that is called Reddit. Now, not much I could say about it other than it is brutal if you're trying to get some engagement in there. These people are wise. They smell a sell before you even start hitting the first key to type out whatever it is you're going to say. And they will vote you down and get you shoved underneath the rubble before you can even say, hey, no, it's not what I... Too late. So if you figure out how to use this particular social network, let me know, because I have no clue. But Foursquare. Foursquare is a fun one. Foursquare is a gamified, well, they're trying to get out of the gamification portion of it, but is a gamified, I'm here check-in type of network. Now, this is great, especially if you happen to have a business, a brick-and-mortar business. There's so many different cool things you can use Foursquare with, but you can use it to have your listeners find you in the city. If you want to be randomly tapped on the shoulder and go, hey, you're so-and-so, aren't you? Why, yes, I am. I like you. And then they say nothing more except look at you. It's a lot of fun, though, because you can, especially with their mayorships and things like that, if you're a business, you can really rake in and get more people to show up at your place than your other competitor, because honestly, not very many people have figured out how to use Foursquare. And in Foursquare, it's just so amazingly simple to use, especially with everybody having their smartphones these days, because you can just check in. You can download the app, check in that you're over at Rebecca's Coffee House, and poof, voila, it tells everybody who's following you that you're at Rebecca's Coffee House. And that way they can come over and they can sit down and they can have coffee with you over at Rebecca's Coffee House. Another way, if you are a podcaster, which if you're listening to this, obviously you're a podcaster or thinking of podcasting, there are two sites that are actually really good to have, but they cost you a little bit of money. One is Meetup. It costs about $12 a month, $12, $15 a month. Not that much, but you can go off and you can set up hey, we're going to meet over at the park at 10 o'clock on Saturday to talk about podcasting or talk about this, that, these, and those. And anybody who uses Meetup can look on there and say, hey, wow, there's a meetup for sailboat enthusiasts, model sailboat enthusiasts over at the park. Maybe they're going to go out and they're going to sail their sailboats. Well, that's possible. So you go out there and you find out, yeah, everybody's standing around with their little model sailboats they've been working on. And it's great because you get new people coming in. If you're a podcaster, that's a great way of being. If you can get meetups to go, great way to get new people in, because there's always new people coming through Meetup going, oh, hey, look, there's something new coming on over here. Let's check this out. Another way is if you're going to someplace where if there is a size limit, say you know that you want to have a meetup over at a pizzeria place, but they are only they've got a room that's available for 15 people. Well, Eventbrite is a great service also to use, to where you basically get people can go on and get a ticket. And so you can limit the number of people that you can go. So if you're the first 15 people to come, y'all can stay, have pizza with me. All right, great. If it's over that, sorry, Charlie, got to be a little faster next time. And it helps you understand, all right, well, there, I've got more than just, you know, just the these 15 people. There was 25 people that came by asking me if we can, if they had any extra room. So, you know, you need to grow, get a bigger venue next time. And so it helps to give that exclusivity feel so that people will sign. It helps you to be able to draw a few more people out by putting a hard limit of, hey, we're not doing anything more after X. Now, the last thing, social network, is actually one that has been around for a very, very long time. Or at least long in internet years. And that is forums or bulletin boards. These were websites that were set up a lot. They're still around. Forums are still around. They're just not as prevalent as what they used to be. And you could actually read threaded conversations about whatever was going on. Each forum had different little sub forums, and the sub forums had different topics going on inside. So you may have, say, podcasters, you may have new to podcasting and in there, podcast equipment, podcast troubleshooting, and podcast audience growth. So if you had a problem with your mic getting a weird buzz whenever you hit a particular, made a particular word, well, you'd go into the troubleshooting, you post your question, and people would respond and help you fix the question, or you'd have a conversation about over in the open bar area, and people will just talk about absolutely anything and everything. Great way. And if you use these, since they're still around, you can use these, but be careful. If you go into a forum and immediately sit there and go, hey, I run this podcast over at this site, and I'd like for y'all to go check out my podcast at this site and go do this at this site and blah, blah, blah. Two things are going to happen. One, you're going to get kicked. Two, you're going to get banned. You don't want that, because you're going to be viewed as a spammer. Now, the other thing is, forums used to be great to help you build Google links, backlinks, because normally forums will have a little bit, have a fairly decent page ranking. And with the page ranking, if they were larger, higher page rank than you, you would get a bump if they linked to you, which is great. Or if you had a whole bunch, if you were wanting to have a particular set of keywords linked to your name, so like, say, Podcast Master, then I could use Podcast Master and link that, to have that link to my site and have a whole bunch of them and put it in my signature, and anytime I type something, that Podcast Master would be down at the bottom and linked over to my site, and so Google would know someone was looking for Podcast Master. Well, there's a whole bunch of Podcast Masters all through the internet, all linked to this one site, so that must be the Podcast Master. That's how it used to go. It doesn't work quite that way anymore. So, it still works, but you want to be kind of careful as to how you do it. Because, well, main reason is because you don't want to get yourself banned. So, but provide good help to and information to the forum people, to the people on the forums. When they ask a question, answer that question, reply to it, carry on. Don't try to sell your goods. People will get curious about you when you start providing enough useful information that they will turn around and visit your profile on that forum, which then is linked to your site. And then they might go and follow you there. And if you're allowed to have a signature, you can put it in the signature. Some places allow it, some places don't. Just it depends on forum to forum and how touchy the forum moderators are. So those are your tip, the most common social networks. Now, the tip of the week is don't overdo it on social networks. You want to try to be everywhere your audience is, yes, but you don't want to have a ghost town. Don't do the ghost town thing. Don't sit there and start up and, you know, put a post up once every 7 months and think you're doing okay. If you're not going to do it, if you're not going to be on that network, don't be there. If you are going to be there, great. But kind of look around. You can, if you really think about it, you can figure out where your audience is. What places are your audience typically found at? And you can then check them out. If you're, well, you don't go to Twitter because you never thought of it, then there's a chance a good portion of your followers, of your listeners may not. Now, you could be wrong. If you really want to find out, you can always ask your audience, hey, what social networks do y'all use the most? And find out, hey, we're always over here or we're always over there. But don't try to overdo it. Don't try to be at every single social network there is, but be at all the social networks your fans are at. Okay, and now our last, before we leave, wanted to talk about here recently, Spreaker, which is a media host that has been in the news here recently because they have teamed up with iHeartRadio. And iHeartRadio is a really good item because, I mean, that's a nationwide, that's owned by Sirius Radio, which is a nationwide radio conglomerate or group. It's a big company. And, you know, a lot of us podcasters have always had this, get this delusion of grandeur that we're going to start out on podcasting and then we're going to hit the big times and we're going to be on, you know, a nationally syndicated show and we all talking about, you know, knitting or whatever it is that we're doing. And so whatever it is our passion happens to be. And so we're all sitting around and see that, we have iHeartRadio has teamed up with Spreaker and they're, and this is the best thing since the invention of the microphone for a podcaster, at least. And so everyone has started to, you know, jump onto Spreaker. Well, a couple, may have been a week ago, last week. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last week. Spreaker came up with a system that you could take your RSS feed and throw it into their system. And they'll, what they'll do is they'll import everything over and it becomes automated. For me, that sounded awesome because it was such a pain in the butt to get everything taken care of, get it uploaded, get all your stuff set up on your main website, and then have to go around to the different, hosting groups like Spreaker. And if you happen to do, you know, like Blog Talk Radio, and items like that to get your show disseminated out in that way. So hear this. Yeah, sweet, awesome. I jump on board along with just about everybody else. And then my good buddy, my friend, Dave Jackson put up an article here. I don't know, maybe a week ago. Also, or shortly thereafter, everything happened, posing a really, really good point. Something I failed to think of. I was looking at the, oh, wow, that's easy, instead of, well, is this really a good idea? I need to, and that's something that, Dave, if you are listening, which you have a tendency to from time to time, even if you are, thank you. And smart move. Thank you for coming up, pointing out that this may not be as golden of a solution as we originally were thinking. Because apparently what they're doing, one, they're re-encoding, or not re-encoding, they're stripping all the ID3 tags out. Now, why? Why are they stripping all the ID3 tags out? And then on top of that, they're taking your album art off. And they're putting whatever picture you have on your account is coming up on that. No, I am entrusting Spreaker. If anybody from Spreaker is listening to this, this is not what us podcasters are wanting. Yeah, we would like to have the ease, but it's like Blog Talk Radio. If we were to upload something, what is the first thing you hear on that show? It is not Welcome to Podcast Dojo. It is Blog Talk Radio. No, don't slap your brand on my stuff. Charge me to be able to use your stuff for without the branding. I'll be happy to do that. If I'm going to give it free, maybe change something to put your brand on there. Okay, never mind. I'm thinking this through as I'm talking at the moment. Because all I had wrote down on notes was Spreaker for the closing section. It is okay with the free section. I understand you've got nothing is for free. Even though I like to try to do as much as I can for free, I know that I'm actually trading something of that they consider value for something I consider of value. Okay, but those values have to be of an equal value in my mind and in their mind. So that's where the bargaining item comes into place. But since we're not able to bargain, we can sit there and go, all right, you can do this or this, but it's not actually even when you upload into Spreaker, they're not even putting their branding from what I'm understanding and what I'm seeing onto it. They're just changing the ID3 tags around. Now I don't put, I don't put 2 hours worth of work into my ID3 tags, but at the same time, what's the purpose of changing the ID3 tags if you're not going to put some type of Spreaker branding onto it? Or is this something for a little bit further on down the road where all of a sudden you're going to change a whole bunch of stuff? And if that's the case, then I need to go ahead and just close the Spreaker thing up altogether. Because if you're just waiting for critical mass and then all of a sudden you're going to release the hounds and just hose a whole bunch of people up Spreaker, that's not going to be a good thing. You're going to end up hacking a whole bunch of people off. So, but the value, I mean, I could understand if they were putting their brand onto like the, even on the show title where it would say like Podcast Dojo / hosted by Spreaker. I wouldn't like that, but I would actually take that as being somewhat fair because they're hosting that particular version of that file on their servers. So they have that ability to, tinker with it, but to just slick ID3 tags off and to change the album art from what we have as our album art for that particular show to whatever our profile picture is. Yeah. Not working for me. So Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, again, I thank you for bringing this up to our attention, and your diligence is amazing. And I take everything that you say with a great deal of respect and follow up and see what it is you're talking about. And I haven't come across a whole bunch of stuff that just really says Dave was wrong on that one. So you're doing good, Dave. So anyhow, folks, I am going to go ahead and I'm going to let you go. And I want to say thank you very much for listening. And if you are looking at starting up a podcast, or you need to always start off with a website. And if you go to podcastdojo.com/site5, and that's the number 5, you'll be able to sign up through the hosting company that I use. And I think they do a great job. And if you do so, let me know that you've signed up. Give me the name of your site, and I would love to give you a little shout out. Let people know, hey, there's a new guy out here. Let him know. Say hi to him. Give him a pat on the back. Tell him welcome to the neighborhood. If you want to get a hold of me, you can go to shoot an email over to Brian, and that is Brian with a Y. I just got to thinking about that. There's more than one way to defer a feline, and Brian can be spelt with an I or a Y, and mine happens to be with the Y. So Bryan, Brian with a Y, at podcastdojo.com. Or if you would like to leave a voicemail, you could do so by dialing 530-763-2789. If you are listening to this through the podcast app, please go in and rate us and give us a, if you're listening to me through iTunes, leave a however many star review you think I'm worth, and write a review. Spend some time, just a couple minutes, just saying whether I'm good, bad, indifferent, and what I could fix if I do whatever problem I end up having at that moment. which is at the moment talking. If you are a Stitcher person, which I am giving Stitcher another look at, and well, because my phone keeps filling up because I listen while I'm driving, and there was a couple times where I didn't do very much driving, but I was at work. And so whenever I'd show up, I all of a sudden had a backlog of 125 podcast episodes I was trying to listen to. And, you know, so I'm trying to see if I can find another solution, but I am limited on my on the amount of data that I'm allowed to utilize. So I'm still checking it out. And if anything, I'm transferring and subscribing to my library through Stitcher. This at least gives the guys an idea of, hey, here's a good representation of people who are listening to you. So use Stitcher. And if you do use Stitcher, give me a thumbs up while you're listening, and share out with your friends. And there's some way, I don't know how, I've yet to find how you do a review on Stitcher, but you can do a review. So leave a review, and we will talk to you next week, which is only in a couple, 3 days. So I've got to get busy. Thank y'all very much for listening. And as always, go out and tell the world who you really are.
Hey Rolling Podcast Network, HeyRolling.com.